The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our majority female panel for today. It's a rarity at Ask the Professor, so I'm going to revel in it. All the way in the upper left, our token male, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always. I'm okay with it. I'm secure in my masculinity. I'm much more intelligent than I am. No problem.
Going on in your life lately, Dave? Any cool TV shows?
Nothing. Just doing more kids' books, couple bids, couple quotes. You know, nothing too crazy yet. Haven't pulled too many all-nighters this week, so no complaints.
I was actually going to ask you, Dave, how your new garage was doing with the fact that it hasn't stopped raining for the last 7 months.
Not a problem. We had it graded properly. So everything's going good. I don't know if I told you, we were actually going to have the three-season room built before the garage, but the builder said build the garage first, set that grade, and then build the three-season room. So
wise advice.
My construction is not ending anytime soon. So
excellent. Oh. We could talk even more about home improvement, but I'm afraid if we talk to Professor Mara Livesey from chemistry and biochemistry, that the object of insects might come into play.
Oh, yes. Nothing like spending your Monday of fall break killing some wasps in the back of our house.
Hey.
Gross.
Yeah.
And scary because, ouch.
Yeah. I only got stung once, so hashtag blessed.
Not allergic. Like
there's a whole like flooring in the back of our house where they were coming in, making a hive, and somehow they were sneaking into the house. So they're dead now, though.
That's good.
I mean, smile. the ruthless side of Mara we've never known. I mean, geez.
Oh, I believe that I caught Professor Livesey totally by accident, basically in the middle of that. And there was nothing that wished these organisms' life left in her at that point. So,
a blood curdling side of Mara here.
I mean, I'd have to go to an emergency room if I got stung by a wasp. So I'm glad that. We only got stung once and apparently are surviving it without too many ill effects. So
no, crazy effects, Mara?
I mean, it hurt. Okay. That's about it. I'm not allergic to those kinds of stings. So
okay.
Lucky you.
That's a good thing. Someone apparently who is of course, Professor Beth Oljar from philosophy.
That's me. Yeah. I used to end up getting something or other on every family vacation that we took growing up. This is why I don't camp, is because I don't, bugs love me too much. So as much as I like being outdoors in the summer when it's not too hot, I tend to try to avoid the mosquitoes.
Yes. And this more recent spate of rain that we've had, I'm just thinking of having done some work for my dad at his property up near Port Huron. We couldn't be outside for about 5 seconds, Beth, without being just completely eaten alive. It was made it just terrible, absolutely terrible. I'm like, give me a stiff breeze to take care of these guys. You know what
I
mean?
And I don't get little delicate bites. They're like huge welts.
Lupine bites, kind of.
That's right.
Exactly.
I don't know whether I'm about to get in trouble or not, but I'm going to try to introduce Professor Heather Hill, who's been very, very patient with multiple people today. How's it going, Heather?
Okay. How are you?
Heather and also shoulder. There's a shoulder of a person in the background.
I don't know what's going on. We're trying. We're trying to get Stephen in.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm willing to share my square with him, but he wants his own square.
Yeah. You know, that'll work.
It's gonna be like Waylon and Madam on Hollywood Squares. That's all.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So
how was your week, Heather? How was the film class on Monday?
It was good. Dr. Kokel came, and then Professor Prasad Venugopal is coming on Monday. So
wow. What film is he talking about?
Yeah.
He is talking about Unforgiven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Clint Eastwood one.
Yes, absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
So depressing. I mean, really?
It's true.
Okay. Of course, my movie kind of is too. So, there you have it.
Yep. I think we heard last week, Beth, but remind us, your movie.
Oh, it's about a college student in Nazi Germany named Sophie Scholl and a anti-Nazi leafleting campaign that she and her brother and some other students set up. And of course, they got caught.
No. I thought you were doing Clueless.
No, I decided to do something that I actually have something to say about. Yeah.
This is, these are just from your description, Beth, on very different sides of the spectrum.
Man, I think I'm tag teaming with you for, we're doing Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's sounds good to me.
You ready for this? I've got storyboards from that movie too, so I can talk from that
that's
end.
Awesome. That's so
that
cool.
That seems to be great. They'll love it. So they'll just love it.
And if you want, I could draw on the spot.
I'm doing something depressing. You guys are You guys are doing something fun.
And Stephen's going to come in and talk about The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
Past and recent versions in terms of political science. So
that's right.
Cool. Is he going to show up in costume?
Oh. I don't know, but maybe I could get him to bring the dog. The dog is almost as large as a lion. So
there you go.
Here's Stephen.
We still have a majority female panel, but we've finally been joined by Professor Stephen Manning.
I don't have my picture up here, but I'm not intentionally doing a Jeff Boats. But
go you just did have your picture up.
I did.
Yes.
It was there for a split second. And I love your characterization of not being there as a Jeff Boats. That's actually pretty amusing.
Oh my, I'm going to go fix Steven's picture. Please proceed.
Jeff Boats is now a noun, right?
It is.
Or is it a verb? I mean,
got to boats your way out of it.
I was just reading a short story that used the acronym NRP, not real people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That appears to be what I am because I can't.
We don't need real people. We just need real answers. That's all.
Disembodied voice. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize that way too. You can send us questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Not too poor timing for this set of questions that came into my inbox just the other day. Dear Matt and professors, thanks for letting my lack of attendance and participation slide. I know you do themed questions from time to time, seeing how it's coming up on Halloween. I thought I'd send along some Halloween pumpkin fall monster themed questions to the show. Below are, of course, 13 questions I hope will prove to be challenging. Thanks again for the enlightened entertainment and laughs with deep appreciation. Our friend, Amber Hubley from San Diego, California. Thanks for sending these in, Amber. Very, very cool. Let's see what we can do. You know, a lot of these are similar to questions we've had in the long past. So it's also sort of a memory test. Now, there's only a certain number of ways you can ask questions about pumpkins, but it's always good to bring the listenership into a new world here. In what state would you find the city of Morton, the pumpkin capital of the world?
Nebraska.
Iowa.
Is it city or state?
In what state would you find the city of Morton, the pumpkin capital of the world? For the record?
Indiana.
Wisconsin. Indiana.
Iowa.
Nope.
Michigan.
Nope. However, maybe we have it.
Is it Midwest?
On. Michigan is the number two pumpkin provider.
Ohio?
Nope.
South Dakota.
Mara, where did you and I go to grad school?
Illinois.
Yes.
Illinois.
We were circling. We were circling.
Yep. We were.
Oh, you guys both went to UI, UIC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Just about a generation apart. You know, what's in Morton is the Libby pumpkin packing plant. So it's the pumpkin capital of the world. Why was the annual Pumpkin Chunkin' Festival canceled in the year 2017?
Not enough pumpkins.
That was a good guess.
Did somebody get hurt? I'm trying to remember. Those things are always super dangerous.
I'm going to give you partial credit. We used to watch it. I liked it better when people were designing catapults and
trebuchets.
They got into the world of air cannons, and two exploding air cannons actually injured two onlookers, so they canceled the following year. So, yeah. Got to be careful. It's all for fun, you know?
Pumpkin chunking. Oh, you chunk.
You shoot the pumpkin.
Chuck a pumpkin.
Yeah. And was it Carrie Byron, Tori Belleci used to host it. It was on Discovery for the longest time. So
I've never seen this.
Good fun times.
Yeah,
I don't think so. It's like that scene in Braveheart where they're throwing the big stones. Yeah.
Similar, but with pumpkins. Right.
The one thing I've always wondered, like, who's the judge that has to stand in the middle of the field and wait for these projectiles to hit?
How about, according to the National Retail Federation, in 2018, how much money did Americans spend on Halloween costumes exclusively for their pets?
Oh, this is some outrageously high amount of money.
$2 million.
I'm going to give partial credit for that answer.
$2 million.
$1 billion.
It wasn't a billion. There still is good economic sense in this world. However,
but tens of millions.
20 million.
How about hundreds of millions?
What?
What? Wait a minute. Okay, that being said, there are four households here with animals.
Is this just the United States?
$300 million.
I think that it's just the U.S., and I feel like giving it to Beth. It's basically half a billion. It's $480 million.
I am ashamed.
Dressing up animals is weird.
Dan has basically forbidden me from dressing up the cat. He's like, don't dress up your pets.
Yeah.
You know, clear that he has strong feelings about this, and I'm willing to respect. Although I wish I could get the little antler that Max wears in.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Like,
well,
just
I was
it on top of Fiji's head.
Well, I was also thinking, like, how big of a costume would Steven have to get for the dog? I mean, that
would be human size.
That'd be like hundreds of dollars of material just there alone, right? I mean,
they have them at Petco.
You're not going to Scooby-Doo, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. You have to shave him a little bit. There's a really cute dog costume that's making the rounds. I don't think it's too old. Maybe it's a couple of years old. It's a miniature dachshund who's wearing something on their front that makes it look like they are a human carrying the dog's head on a little platter. And it's really, really cute. I got to say, this dog is just real happy and everything, but it's got this sort of morbid...
Sounds like something Dave would have designed.
Yes.
Me? No, the one that I've always loved, have you seen the ones, you know, now mind you, Marcy's cousin's got a farm in Wisconsin and they've got chickens, but have you seen the ones, the two little boxing arms?
Yeah.
That you can actually throw on top of the chicken and the chicken looks like it's boxing with you all the time?
Pretty cute.
They're hilarious. So.
Professors, according to a poll that turned into this question, 19% of Americans, when given a choice, would prefer to eat apple pie amongst many pie choices. What percentage of Americans prefer pumpkin pie?
3%.
8%.
Gotta be higher than that.
Yeah, it's gotta be right behind, I would say. Now, is this just for Halloween or just for the holidays? Or
this is just in general, you know?
Oh, okay.
All right, 9%.
I feel like I need to give it to a combination of Dave and Beth because it was both. It's got to be higher than the single digits that we've heard and maybe right behind. That's fair to say. 19% prefer apple pie. 13% prefer pumpkin pie when given a choice. So, and what percentage of those want that like wagon wheel sized Costco pumpkin pie that is just absolutely delicious?
And what percentage of us Canadians would want a slice of each?
Also true. Also
I'm not a pumpkin, well, I'm not a huge pie person, but definitely not pumpkin. More of a texture thing than
it's a custard.
Taste.
Yeah.
It's a custard.
Yeah. I like sweet potatoes also good too. And just,
yeah.
I don't like sweet potatoes.
How many species of pumpkins are there in the world?
250.
250 is a little high.
190.
36.
I think I'm going more of a Steven route on this one. You at least got the order of magnitude correct. It's 73 varieties of pumpkins. This is a pretty high number.
Yeah.
It's a pretty high number.
Wait a minute. What did Steven say? 36?
I'm just doubling it.
Okay. Yeah. Came the closest, probably.
Yeah. But somebody said 100.
300 and 420.
I didn't say 420.
I said 250, so. You know.
I said 195.
We were just channeling Kendra again, weren't
we? That's right.
I'm sorry. I'm just being uppity.
Again.
Uh-oh.
She's being a spinning woman.
Careful, you might get a pumpkin chunked at you.
Yeah, be careful.
I'll hit it right back.
No
pie. Mind you, December 5th, I still got to show up. Someone attacked for you. So.
Professors, the Headless Horseman is famous for wielding a jack-o'-lantern as a missile, as a substitute for their head. But how did the Headless Horseman lose his head, according to the story?
Was stolen by a witch.
That's a good guess.
He called some woman uppity?
Again?
Mara, you're pretty close to the way we sort of learned about it in the Tim Burton live action movie, but I'm actually referring to the Washington Irving original story.
It was Passion in the Tim Burton movie. It was Christopher Walken, right? Who took his
head.
Was
it a war? Yeah. Did he lose it in a war? Or
that's right, Heather.
Revolutionary War.
Yeah, the Headless Horseman would have been a Hessian soldier hired as a mercenary by the British, who lost his head to some errant cannonball in a nameless battle of the Revolution. Yes.
Yeah, well, we opened up a can of whoop-ass and I'm at Yorktown, so who cares?
You got it. It's a favorite of the Mayo family at this time of year. When my brother was in full, stereotypical starving actor mode before he found his calling to education, he did voiceovers. And he actually read a number of stories that were published on CD-ROM so that you could listen to someone tell the story. And the one that we listen to pretty much every year is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So
cool. So you have a recording of your brother doing
exactly
reading that story? Oh, neat.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you encapsulate the famous Irish story as to the origin of the jack-o'-lantern?
Has something to do with keeping away evil spirits, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, was he left wandering, like one of those wandering souls or something like that, roam the earth forever, kind of with a jack-o'-lantern trying to find something?
Yep. I mean, the Irish were kind of obsessed, even to this day. You know, what did Sinead O'Connor, was her famous quote, is the most childlike, trusting race of people on planet Earth. That's the way she refers to the Irish.
But also Jack, the most morbid. So yeah,
also true, very much true. Jack is basically a raging jerk, and he's giving the devil a run for his money, and actually etches a cross into a tree while the devil is going to jump out and attack him, making it so the devil can't fall down. And says, "You'll never take me to hell, and then I'll scratch this cross out." So what happens is basically Jack becomes 1,000 times worse than Satan himself and dies. And of course, St. Peter doesn't want him. And the devil's like, this is this one time. I'm not going to try to break my own oath. So Jack is going to roam the earth forever as someone not welcome in neither heaven or hell. So
he's in limbo, pretty much.
Basically in limbo. And so I think that the original Will-o'-the-Wisp was the marsh gas that escaped the bogs. And it would ignite. We know it as ignus fatuus, like the fake fire. And these little wisps of fire would appear in the bog in Ireland, and they would see them from a distance and go, "Oh, that's Stingy Jack wandering the earth." And they used to use turnips as lanterns. We didn't find a lot of turnips when the Irish emigrated to the United States. Well, North America, they found pumpkins. So that's why we have pumpkins used for that to this day.
Hmm.
Okay. Souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, the process of making and sharing goods, for which is the origin of trick-or-treating, is mentioned actually in one of Shakespeare's plays. What play is that?
Macbeth, yeah.
That's not what it says here.
Souling.
Double, boil in trouble.
King Lear?
Hamlet?
It's Summer's Night Dream.
No.
Not Romeo
tragedy
and Juliet.
Or comedy. Give us a hint.
That's a good question because I've never seen this one or read it. So I will.
Is there a William Shakespeare rom-com? I mean.
Taming of the Shrew. You know what it's... Yeah, he's got a lot of them, actually.
Yeah.
As You Like It, 12.
I don't want to lead you down the primrose path too far because I almost gave a hint that I know is wrong because Souling actually makes a connection between Samhain, Halloween, and Christmas for the transition from the Celts from their pagan roots to their Christian modernity. And if I said it had something to do with Christmas, you might pick Twelfth Night. But it's Two Gentlemen of Verona and mentioned souling. So souling is like poor people get to go door to door and beg for things, which basically becomes trick-or-treating in the modern sense.
We're not sure that he actually wrote that one.
I was going to ask that. I was going to ask that. That's a good point.
We're not sure if he wrote any of them.
How about that?
Do you really think that he didn't write any of those?
No, I do think he wrote quite a few of them, yes. But I also think that quite a few of them are joint efforts.
Okay.
In the sense that it's not so much that the text creates the performance as the performance may have created the text.
Right, right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So there was a particularly good version of it that was put on one time, and then
that's what he wrote down.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
What is the significance, professors, if you see a spider on Halloween day?
Kill it.
Man, we are a bloodthirsty bunch.
One does with spiders?
No.
But it's good luck.
You'll get married within the year or something like that.
One of those old tales. It's actually the manifested spirit of a loved one who can only pass through the veil between the living and the non-living on that day, saying hi to you if you see a spider on Halloween. Yeah.
And they wave with one of their...
When my older sister got married, the person officiating the ceremony started talking about Indian burial grounds, which went over really well with my very Catholic grandmother. So now I'm thinking about my grandmother Oljar saying hello to me in the form of a spider. And I'm creeped out by that. I'm sure she asked me, if, as she always used to do, are any of you heathens going to mass with me? That was a fairly frequent question because we were all shacking up, right, with our significant others, as she used to call it. Are you still shacking up with
someone? You're conserving heat. That's all.
So hilarious.
We call it living in sin.
Which, of course, is what she thought, you know.
Quite so. To the point.
Right.
Professors, I am talking, and boy, is it confusing. If you ever want to do the chronologically confused game, feel free to start trying to keep track of the Halloween movies, as in the ones that were originally written and directed by John Carpenter, because there are movies that involve Jamie Lee Curtis that are on the main canon timeline and movies with Jamie Lee Curtis that are not on the main canon timeline. It is incredible. But if we just talk about 1978, the name of the movie was Halloween.
Okay.
How many people were killed in that cornerstone slasher flick?
I don't recall. It was that many, was it?
Seven? It wasn't that many.
12?
Five?
Heather?
Seven?
Beth just got it, but I was going to give it to you too. It's only five people. Unfortunately, right. A dog was involved as well, if you remember the original movie. But only five people are slashed to bits in the original. And now you can't have one of those movies without a solid like 20, 30, 50, you know, person
blood count. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to Halloween Kills. I'm very excited.
Beth, did you see the picture of Jamie Lee Curtis stepping out for that movie? She's dressed as Janet Lee.
Oh, interesting.
She looks pretty darn good.
Janet Lee is her mother.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, but she had a costume. I think she wore the costume from Psycho or something like that for it. She showed up in the premiere in costume.
You know, she and Jamie Lee and Janet were both in The Fog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's right.
Another one of her better, that whole period of time where Jamie Lee Curtis was like in every single horror movie, like Terror Train, one of my personal favorites that everybody else thinks sucks, but I love it.
And True Lies got me through puberty. So, I mean, it's like, oh, good Lord.
True Lies is a great movie.
It's a great movie. Just a couple more here before we have to wrap up, professors. Now, let's see if we can do this in an orderly fashion. Starting with the tip, what are the three colors in a candy corn in order?
Yellow,
orange, white. Yeah.
White, Mara said.
Orange?
Yeah, the center's white.
Wait a minute. No, the center's orange.
Orange, yellow.
I thought it was yellow, orange, white.
White.
White, orange, yellow is my guess.
So the tip white, is white. Yellow,
white. White. The body is orange.
The middle is yellow.
It is?
The bottom is orange.
Orange. Oh, it's light too dark.
And by the way, I seriously think we heard every possible permutation of three colors. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating.
Wow. And logically speaking, it's not like there are a ton of permutations, right?
Well, there's only three colors. I don't remember seeing purple ones. I mean,
right.
Actually, I've seen purple ones, and you know they do different colored ones, Brock's does, for different holidays. So you can get like horrific, like red and green for Christmas and stuff like that. It's like, leave the candy corn where it is. I'm just going to come out. I have no problem. I'm totally confident. I'm a big candy corn lover. I can live without it, but it's like, I really like it. I know it just grosses other people out. So,
oh, it's good. I like
it's the most disgusting candy.
Really. Makes your eyes wince. That's also, yeah.
What was that, Heather?
So sweet. So
it's, yeah. It's very sweet.
I like it, but you can't eat too much of it.
Yeah.
I always used to eat the white part first. Than the yellow.
What would Dan Maggio say? This would make your teeth itch or something like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. One more for today, professors. And it gets lumped in. We're talking gothic horror. It's not necessarily about Halloween, but a lot of people do lump it in. There are several allusions, direct and indirect in ways, in the novel Frankenstein, that the monster either was bestowed a name or gave himself a name. Do you know what that name was?
Victor.
It's a good guess, but it wasn't Victor.
That was the professor. I'm trying to remember. I keep on going back to Young Frankenstein. I knew you were going to go there. I was just thinking about that.
Madeline Kahn is so funny in that movie. So is Terry Garr.
Everybody is funny in that movie. Here's your hint. He fancied himself a first?
Primus?
It's a good guess.
Optimus Prime? Was he foreshadowing?
No. He actually wanted to name himself Adam. He wanted to name himself.
Oh, okay. Like the first man kind of. Okay.
The first synthetic. If my wife were here, she does a very nice summary of a paper she wrote in undergrad where it was very, very clear that this was Shelley's treatise on being pregnant for the first time. That's literally where Frankenstein comes from. And feel free to look more into it, because she had a lot of things that actually came out very well in the movie. Was it Robert De Niro as the monster and Kenneth Branagh as Frankenstein? Do you remember that from a few decades ago? Vaguely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was actually put together in like a birthing bag, and they were following more the very strict, not the universal stereotype of the Frankenstein monster and everything. So, professors, we've done a really good job with these questions. And of course, Amber and I wish you all a very, very happy Halloween. But the time has come to say goodbye. Let's start with Stephen.
Bye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Beth.
Bye.
Mara.
Boo.
And Dave.
See ya.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.